Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. And as you can see, this is a big show. I am premiering my new intro. Actually, I got an outro, too. So stick around at the end of the show because I have an outro, too. And I'm really excited. I'm so excited to have shared that the creative experience of making this intro, because the gentleman who I was working with, a gentleman named Bill Baum, but I think he goes Bill Lee Baum. I'll find his website before the show is over. He is exquisite. So for anybody who's on Blog Talk Radio, if you don't have an intro and an outro, the price is unbelievably reasonable. And Bill is a professional. He's a professional. He's patient. I'm not one that, I don't quite know how to, get the creative, juices flowing, on demand. And Bill was in no rush to get this done. He made it, we had to make a few of these. And he just kept saying to me, your being happy is my goal. Customer satisfaction. What an incredibly delightful human being to work with. So, and Blog Talk Radio just changed the format, I guess like yesterday, because I was going to post his website on my Blog Talk Radio page, but of course, they took that part of the page down. You can't do links anymore. So I'll get that to everybody. At the very least, I'll post it on Facebook because Bill is fabulous, and I wanted to definitely, shine some light on him, because the whole process was just super fun. And I think I might have to lower the volume a little bit on it. It seemed a little loud, but anyways, Goldie has an intro and an outro. All right, you guys, get your minds out of the gutter. or not. This is the another reality show. So anyways, I hope everybody's doing well. It is April 8th. We are definitely in spring. Let's see what else is going on within my world. I actually had a pretty... I had a download yesterday. Huge, huge download. Knocked me off my feet. I could not even get on the computer to play with Facebook yesterday. Came home from work, crawled into bed, and just had waves and waves of, nausea running through my body. So, of course, I did a lot of work with the, Lisa Renee's... Lisa Renee's meditations and stuff. And actually, I'm working on it. I believe what's going to be coming up soon, too, is I am going to start doing Lisa Renee's 12th Dimensional Light Shield. As after I have my intro, I'm gonna start playing that meditation on our shows, because this meditation just rocks. And I'm clearly realizing for myself, which I want everybody who listens to the show to also participate in, as we raise our frequencies, which is essentially what Lisa's meditation, it's like anybody's meditation. You listen to the words and you allow that to become your reality. And the truth is, whether you're calling in the 12th dimension or you're calling in the 5th dimension, it's really completely up to us. There is no limitation to what we can call in and become. I mean, everything is available to us. It doesn't matter what you look like, how much you weigh, how much money you make, what color you are, what nationality. None of that matters. So I personally like the idea of calling in the 12th dimension because this is our avatar self. Lisa refers to the avatar self as our divine blueprint. It's the self of who we are if nothing ever got tampered with ever with our DNA. So it literally is like rising above the clouds to the space where the sun is always shining. And what I am starting to literally experience is that when I'm in that field and I know it, I can feel the energy it's in. You'll see as we play the meditation. The way I respond is very different than when I'm in polarity, which is the third dimensional aspect. When I'm in polarity, I'm kind of agitated and usually feeling separate from whatever else is going on. When I'm in this 12th dimension, it's a lot different. I'm starting to realize that I'm an empath, and I'm starting to realize the things that are triggering me aren't outside of me, but they're inside of me. And in the 12th dimension, you end up just healing those things. You know, you end up surrounding it with love instead of, you know, the normal knee-jerk reaction, which is to basically, you know, blame the other guy or the other girl and say, hey, it's all their fault. So there's some stuff going on, with Lisa, and she's just got to give me the okay on something with the meditation. But that is coming because, boy, if all of the listeners of the Another Reality Show are playing in the 12th dimension, I'm telling you, we will be changing the planet in ways that are just right on. And the best part is we're doing it for others and we're doing it for self. It's a one-shot deal. You do it for self, but it immediately makes everybody in your life benefit as well. So there's nothing like being an avatar, right? And by the way, when whatchamacallit did the movie, the Avatar movie, at the end, when the main character, you know, blended with his avatar self, so he was then permanently an avatar, that came to me. The reason why that movie was made was to let us know the frequency on the planet right now is absolutely available for all of us to blend with our 12th dimensional pure self. That is available. That's what art imitating life. That is, you know, it just doesn't get better than that, right? Woo! Okay, so I love you guys. We have a great show tonight. I have a guest that hasn't been on in a while, but he's very, very dear to my heart. And let's get him on. Welcome to the show, Chuck Gallagher. Yay!
That's great to be with you, Goldie.
Yay! My favorite motivational speaker, and you really are my favorite motivational speaker.
I'm glad you said that. Now, the problem may be I might be the only motivational speaker you know, so that makes it easier for me to be your favorite. But either way, I will take it and be glad to receive that from you.
No, and actually, listen, both of us are just in the business of spirituality and awakening and clarity and truth. There are many motivational speakers, you know, within my realm, and you're still my favorite because, well, we're going to get into the story, but you are my favorite because you were real. When I met you, you were just such a real human being. You know, you weren't kind of flying in your own ego, you know, and I don't even want to get into what that is. I just know that you were the first cold call I had ever made when it came to the radio show and the radio business that I was in. And, you know, through divinity, you showed up in my life and absolutely, within 3 days, handed me a clarity about myself that was just remarkable. That, you know, to this day, you changed the flow of my river.
I have never had someone say I have changed the flow of their river, but I think that's great. And I remember the first time seeing you, and just as your river changed course, the obvious thing was so did mine, and neither one of us expected the outcome that we received.
Indeed, indeed, which is, you know, that's so, I'm so glad that you bring that up because, you know, right now there is so many changes going on the planet that, you know, one of the changes that I have experienced personally is, and I give you credit if you're doing it, planning. Like, I'm only planning now guests 1 month in advance. Because through experience, if I go anywhere to 2 and 3 months in advance, at least 50% of them have had issues, you know, within that three-month period that they have canceled, whether it's 5 minutes before showtime or you know, before that. And so what it's showing me is, you know, it's about trust. You know, trust that you just need them for the next 4 to 5 weeks. And beyond that, you know, let it unfold how it's going to be. And I think this is happening in a lot of people's lives. And that sense of, you know, like there's like a lack of trust going on because of the inability to plan. Because I think people find security in planning. Myself included, but, you know, this is just, you know, the changes that are happening, you know, they're happening, you know, kind of within reality itself is happening. So it's not like we can go, well, you know, I'll just plan and, you know, and get over it. It's like, no, you know, if you plan, things are going to get a little messed up. Well, let me ask you, have you experienced that at all in your plannings?
It's interesting. Have I experienced it in my plannings? Well, I think I'd first say yes. And I think from two things, Goldie, sometimes it's easy to look at what we say and what we hear on a spiritual level and think that that's fluff, and we don't connect the dots at times with the reality of the dimension we live in life. So to put it into the, I'm going to call it lower dimension, here's the reality. The reality, since you said, well, he's a motivational speaker, is it used to be that we would be selected 9 months to a year out. Now we're finding that we're lucky if it's 6 months out, and more times than not it's three, and in some cases it's two. So
right. Okay, it's closing now.
From a planning perspective is the time is shrinking, and it's forcing us on a spiritual level to be able to accept who we are and to believe that everything will be fine, even if it doesn't go according to plan, and in some cases, it's best not to. I'm not saying disregard responsibility, but to be able to be open and to go with that flow. Just like you said, the river changed when you and I got together. Well, if we had really stuck to a formal plan, we might not have been open to the leadership and guidance of Spirit.
Absolutely. See, and you're still, you're beautiful, you're eloquent. That is, I'm so glad that, you know, our worlds, sometimes I get nervous that our worlds are different because, you know, you're kind of in, the worlds that you speak at as motivational speakers are very left brain worlds. And I honor that. But you're not. You, from day one since I met you, have been someone who has, you know, just shown up truly angelic, you know, in my life. In that very, you've been of assistance. I speak a language that not everybody hears or understands, and yet you do understand me. And that is, you know, I like dancing. You're one of the few people I can dance with that, you know, you dance in the third dimension in the work that you do, but you clearly have a foot in the multiple dimensions because, you know, you when you come on here, there's no resistance. You know, we're just chatting away like old friends.
And the other day, this was something that was kind of interesting to me, and this will perhaps trigger some interesting emotions to the people that are listening.
Okay.
But I was talking with a minister, and I would define the minister probably as more New Thought than perhaps traditional.
Okay.
And we were talking about the reality of speaking to whoever the group may be. I'm going to refer to it as I speak to business groups a lot. And and I said to her, I said, but the reality of it is when I speak to business groups, I use a language they can understand, but I always know that the spiritual component gets through, even though I don't couch it in ways that would cause consternation or constipation to the HR department in the business. And her response to me was, she said, "We all have gifts and talents. You have the gift of speaking in tongues."
Mm.
Now, from a good old Southern Baptist background, speaking in tongues was not what I expected to come out of her mouth. But she said, "We've gotten that so convoluted and confused. Speaking in tongues means that you have the ability to communicate, and the people who need to hear it in the way they need to get it so that it can be powerful to them."
Exactly.
And I was like, whoa, dude. It was kind of like one of those cosmic type things, like, whoa.
You're on the right show to talk about your cosmic space. That's it.
But that's a
truth. Well, and I could not agree more. I think that's exactly, and I do believe, you know, if you watch like sci-fi shows, there are certain races in the cosmos that literally have, you know, they speak in many languages. Because I think it's starting to become, at least for me, obvious that, like you said, business has a language, and I know this because when I speak to my father, I know I have to go into business language. In other words, I can't go too spiritual. My father is, you know, a retired engineer, and you know, he's an old Jew, to be quite honest. And so it's, you know, it's finances, and it's, you know, there's a certain intelligence that he expects. But I'm learning that when I need something, when I need something from him, like when I wanted his blessing on Golden Hawk, when I took the name Golden Hawk,
right,
I simply said, "Dad, they're mailing the checks to me, and I'm on the air as Golden Hawk, so I have to be able to cash these checks as Golden Hawk." "Well, you go change your name then, Mazel Tov." You know, I mean, that's clearly the condensed version, but that's, you know. And there are people that I speak to who like to cook, so I'll use things like marinade and flavors, you know, instead of maybe chakras and dimensions, because it's exactly right that, you know, there is a language, because I believe this is universal truth is felt by the soul, by the cells as well as the soul, that when you're speaking it, if you can speak it at least to their language, they'll stay open enough that when they receive it, they'll feel it in their being that they know what you're saying is truth for them.
Yeah, Goldie, that's absolutely true. And the reality then comes down to, for those of us who, on this show, we would say are light workers, for people who are there to, in whatever talent or form we have, to raise consciousness, we've got a responsibility to not become so caught up in ourselves and ego that we ignore or look past the way other people really need to receive the message. It's clearly important that we meet people where they are so that we can help raise consciousness instead of elevating ourselves to this conscious level with certain language that turns people
right.
off and therefore actually is counterproductive to what we are here to do, which is to
right
raise
on.
Consciousness and to empower their spirit to receive what is there to receive.
Right on. And, you know, that's so right on. God bless. We need – don't take these long gaps anymore. That is right on, and because, you know, I had this intuition the other day that are you familiar with Eckhart Tolle?
Oh yeah.
Okay, now Eckhart Tolle has been on the scene like 25 years, and you know, I just picked up on him about 2001, 2002, and he was definitely still extremely obscure, but he was talking in front of audiences and blah, blah, blah. And now, of course, everybody knows that follows Eckhart. You know, Oprah put him on a TV thing, an internet TV thing,
right.
And he exploded, quote, unquote, overnight. But what I really love is Eckhart is Eckhart. You know, his wisdom is uniquely Eckhart's. Even since being on Oprah, you know, I mean, he's loosened up a little for Eckhart in the way he speaks. But he's what I would consider an overnight sensation, and that's not, I'm not saying that. I'm very schizo lately, and I apologize. The energy is just, it's got me. I'm thinking a mile. You know, I'm thinking thoughts, and I'm not completing them. And all my ADHD friends out there, they totally get it. But so what I got the other day in the woods is that I feel a similar experience is going to happen to me. In other words, I'm just going to be Goldie. And as long as I stay focused on being authentic, it will be obscure for however long it's obscure, but then something's going to happen that will just, it will look like I'm an overnight sensation, even though, you know, I'll just still be me. It'll just be that something will happen. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I think people in and I'm going to say in our business, the light workers, I see them often chasing something, this elusiveness about whether it's clients or it's popularity or fame. And in the chasing of it, they're in the energy that we live in today, they're actually, you know, creating that it's not a part of their experience, because the experience can't be about chasing the part that you become famous or wealthy. It's really about grounding the presence of your 12th dimension, which is a presence that is, it has nothing to do with ego. It has everything to do with awareness. I mean, everything. And, you know, you speak of that because, you know, Chuck, I mean, do you meditate? I don't mean to sound so surprised when I say that. Chuck, do you meditate?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Goldie, I would say the answer is on one hand, no. If it was, and let me define that, if I'm sitting there saying I'm going to be very still, my hand and my center finger together in this position and all quiet and my mind is still, the answer would be no. I've tried that, and it makes my butt sore, and I just have to challenge it.
Okay, and
now,
that's
on the other hand,
yeah, that's the old quote unquote form of meditation, and now hopefully you're going to share with whatever your form of meditation is.
The other hand is, I find for me, I travel a lot,
right,
and what I find is whether it's in a car or an airplane at 36,000 feet. Of course, as long as the skin of the airplane stays together. But if I am traveling somewhere, even if I am surrounded by people, I can find that space of just receiving from spirit. Some of the best writing that takes place is sitting there with a laptop on an airplane, and literally the noise of the engine and just what's taking place around creates white sound, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Exactly, yes.
And it's like spirit can come through. And to me, meditation isn't so much this, what I would refer to as an old-style quiet, but is a connection with spirit to allow what needs to come through, and to come through in a way then that can help raise that vibration.
Right on, right on. That is meditation, connection. Because I'm also one like you. I mean, sometimes I go quiet. I do sit still because there's nothing like lying down on the ground in the forest.
Right.
You know, and I get that, you know, most people want to lie, you know, in $1,000 or 1,000 threaded sheet from Egypt. Me, it's 1,000 leaves and dirt and you know, rotted old trees. That just rocks Goldie's soul. I mean,
sure.
But it was interesting because I've never been one that could sit upright. You know, I was always saying if I wanted my spine straight, then laying down would be also another good way to keep it straight, because it's ultimately I'm lying down, you know, and if I keep my neck straight up, you know, my head up, my spine is straight. So I absolutely agree that, you know, this isn't about oming and putting the two fingers together. This is about knowing that we're connected to something beyond our physical body, and allowing ourselves to bring that awareness, which there's that word again, into this field. And, you know, I know you do because well, before, I know you do, and everybody knows that, I'm sure, that speaks with you, clearly sees that, you know, you're different than most in that what I resonate with you is that I'm a component of saying this isn't just about being light. Our shadow has a tremendous amount of us in it, and
right.
until we can embody that, like whenever I'm reading people trying to do healings for people, the first thing they're telling them is, you know, get the energy around it so it goes away. And it's like, no. You don't want it to go away until you get the message.
Right.
Because, see, the shadow has something to tell us. And truth be told, once we hear the language, see, here we go with the language again, once we hear the language of the tumor or the broken bone or the broken relationship or the loss of the job, then it will shift because its job is done. It has delivered the message. And I see it all the time that people are like, you know, I'm depressed. And I'll tell them, well, go into your depression. Embrace it. Don't look to change it. Go into it. And they're like, no, then I'll never come out of it. It's like, no, as long as you resist it, it's the shadow. It doesn't go, you know, try and run away from your shadow.
Right.
You know, it's unless you get under another shadow, like a tree shadow, your shadow's there. I mean, and your experience, which I want to go into, was one of the, you know, it's like, you know, you speak about ethics, but you're not just speaking about ethics and honesty and integrity, you know, from the silver spoon that, you know, you were given it all. I mean, you're speaking about it from that, you know, 23 steps into a prison door. And, you know, I mean, boy, you know, second chances. second chances, I think, don't you believe on some level you were rebirthed in that prison?
Oh, there's no question about that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a very true statement. It was a complete rebirthing and a recognition of the truth of who I was and what my mission here on this earth is to be. And so although the experience on one hand, on a very physical level, in the moment, kind of sucked, the reality is, even in that, it was still one of the most profound healing experiences and birthing experiences of the truth of Chuck that took place. And I look back on it, and no, I don't want to go back to prison. But the fact of the matter was, it was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
Nice. See, and that is, there is not, you can't share that with somebody unless, like, I really believe what's happening on the planet right now is, it's what I call the dark night of the soul, where the soul knows the transformation that can happen from something that is so jarring to our basic belief structure. And most people will not, by choice, let go of their belief structures, most especially if life is going well for them in those belief structures. In other words, if the money's coming in and the cars are on the driveway and the beautiful ladies are popping in your door, you know, I mean, don't, you know, and then you tell somebody, okay, well, now you're going to go, you're going to let go of everything to go find your soul. It's like, yeah, you think? Like, you know, the odds of that happening are slim to none.
Right.
Yet, if you speak to somebody who's been through, especially the initial dark night of the soul, which is what I always consider the most jarring, because the initial one is basically going from third dimension to fourth dimension and letting go of physical things without actually dying is an incredibly challenging thing to do when you're in the physical world and you don't know that there's more to the universe outside the physical. You really do believe what your five senses tell you is all there is, so it can be, you know, it's quite scary to do that. But once you start doing it, which, like I said, now I believe the planet is that is happening on a planetary level right now. Humanity, the majority of humanity, is going through the initial dark night of the soul, and you know, it's important for us now as forerunners of people who have been to maybe potentially two or three dark nights of the soul, to start speaking that you're going to get through this. And not only are you going to get through this, it's going to be this amazing transformation that happens because of this. It's hope, and I don't even like to use the word hope, because this isn't hope. This is, you will be a better being because you go through this. You will, because once you're stripped of everything, as Janet Joplin put it, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And freedom is priceless. I mean, freedom is what gives you the ability to fly. Not just drive, but fly. Literally fly. You get my passion going. You still do that to me, Chucky.
I do, girl. I like it.
I like it, too. Feels good. It's very, because I'm very empathic. I pick up on my guests, and I know you're passionate when you speak, because I can feel it coming out of me when I'm speaking right now. So instead of me doing all the talking, because you are just wonderful, I want you to share, let's talk about second chances. Talk to me about second chances transforming adversity into opportunity.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
I never in my earlier years would have said to anybody, I'm going to be an author. Never would have crossed my mind. In fact, I remember in English class thinking to myself, why am I here? This is not where my life is going. So, that being said, I was very connected to the earthly realm and very connected to the material world.
Mm.
So much that I defined my existence by those material possessions, like you mentioned. The car, the house, the clothes, the watch, the whatever, all of those things.
Exactly, yes.
And, the sad side is, if you look today at where we are, and I'm speaking on now a larger level, let's just define it as the country.
Okay.
The United States.
Okay.
Well, what have we done? Well, we have essentially defined ourselves by all of our stuff, and because that has defined us so well, we have borrowed ourselves to oblivion. Well, I did as well. Except
right.
I borrowed myself to oblivion as an individual, not as a country. But here's the fact. Every choice we make has a consequence. There is always, 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 always a consequence. If you don't get the consequence quick, as humans, we sometimes believe, nobody caught me. It didn't happen. Because we didn't have an immediate response, we can believe there is no response. Well, I did.
Okay.
And that meant, ultimately, that I stole money from clients. Not proud of that, but I did as a CPA. And because there is always a consequence, the reality is one day that card was pulled, the house of cards collapsed, and I had my dark night of the soul, which was coming to the realization, looking in a mirror, that I was no more than a liar and a thief. The antithesis of what I projected myself to be in the illusion that I created. And the result of that is, although I made restitution to the people that I stole money from, it doesn't make the stealing right. Mm-hmm. And eventually I went to federal prison. And Goldie, while there, and there's an interesting side to this because it's happening tomorrow, but while there, about 6 months into my service in federal prison, which was a revolutionary change for me, here I am, I'm an inmate, I'm a convicted felon, I'm in federal prison wearing black steel-toed work boots, cleaning toilets and urinals with a toothbrush for 12
wow.
an hour, and I'm hanging out with all the other convicts, and I'm like, but I am a convict, and it's like, oh, this is just really freaking my head out.
Right.
But I made a commitment walking in the door that I would write a journal every day. So I began that process. And 5 to 6 months in, five inmates were selected out of 500 to go to speak to students and people about the choices they made and the consequences that followed. So about this time in 1996, I was allowed to walk out with five other inmates, of course we were guarded, to go to a school, and the first school I talked with was a group of fifth graders.
Well,
and I talked to these fifth graders, and I asked them the question, were you told you were going to have guests as, you know, guests to come into your class today? And they all, you know, little fifth graders, you know how they are. They look around, yeah, you were 11 years old, and they're all kind of like antsy and this, that, and the other. Of course, they got three convicts in front of them, so they're on their good behavior because they think, we're like so thrilled to freaking be there and be out of prison. We would like, you know, lick the floor. It was so wonderful. And they thought we were going to hurt them. And so anyway, so I said, okay, so you knew you were going to have guests. What were you looking for? When you saw somebody walk down the hall and you weren't sure who was coming, how would you have known your guest had arrived? And their response was interesting to me. Well, it would be because of the car they drove up to the school in. One little kid said, by the suit or clothes they had on. Another one said, by the kind of shoes they were wearing or the watch on their arm. I mean, these are fifth graders, and they were defining importance by material possessions. And I sat there and I shared with those fifth graders that the importance of who we are as human beings, as spiritual beings, is not defined by the clothes, the watch, the car, the house, the stuff, which, by the way, none of us will get to take with us.
Right.
It's not defined by that. And it occurred to me when we left there that particular day, and that was in 96, and of course now we're in 2011, but it occurred to me that day that my life mission was to share with others the truth of who we are and how we can transform our self-limiting beliefs, we'll call it adversity, into opportunity or spiritual awareness. And tomorrow I'm going to speak to a school, and I'm doing six presentations every 45 minutes to the students from sixth grade to right at high school so that we can talk about those same things. And although I'm doing that and there is no fee associated with it at all, I am as excited, if not more excited about that, than if Cisco Systems hired me and called me up and said, here, come speak for a lot of money. Because tomorrow I get to remember my calling and I get to share with people who are young and impressionable. And although I don't know what that impact will be, I have to believe that if Spirit flows through me to them at their age, maybe some of them will get the message. And that's what we do as light workers.
What state is the school in?
South Carolina.
North Carolina, okay.
South Carolina.
Okay, I'm just... South Carolina.
South Carolina. Greenville, South Carolina.
Right, right. Because... you know, I would definitely be open to, and you know that, you know, I've been working with kids for over 20 years, and you'll see that, you know, the kids have evolved.
Oh.
Clearly, yep. You will see. I don't know, you know, if you have, you know, kids or you hang out with kids, but I look forward to speaking to you again because they come in aware. They're not... They don't go quite as to the end of the spectrum of forgetting who we really are. And it's all, of course, part of the divine plan because they're actually helping our age group awaken.
Right.
Because, you know, they're inheriting the planet. And when we take it to the brink of extinction, you know, life kind of already knew that. So said, well, we better put some awareness at the bottom. There's awareness at the top. And then we're helping to fill in the middle.
Right. Well, that really is. That's a very true statement. And the kids today, I think the way you put it really makes sense. They do retain their awareness perhaps longer, I would certainly say, than my generation did, and I'm 53.
Right.
And perhaps it'll be interesting, although I don't know that I will physically be around when they're in their 50s. Maybe I will. But whether I am physically or not, either way, from a spiritual perspective, it will be interesting to see, does this, that really, that younger generation, do they need the dark night of the soul experiences to reawaken, or will they be generally speaking more open? And my sense is they'll generally speaking be more open.
Right on. I have that same feeling as well. Absolutely. It's almost like the dark night was, and that's the interesting thing. It's like the dark night of the soul, it's so interesting that it has to be placed in a dark night when once you get through it, I mean, I would not give up the life I have led for anything. And, you know, I did the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, but I did it balls to the wall, you know, smoking base cocaine for several months, and you know, I definitely took it to the brink of darkness. But the dark night of the soul is when we connect back into an awareness that you, me, and everyone else is, you know, it's like we are the cells of the body of planet Earth. Because listen to this, I didn't know I was going to be sharing this tonight, but I know you're open to all of it. Black holes. There is a new study that shows that there are black holes within everyone's bodies, black holes as well as white holes. In fact, I had a vision the other night that this is how energy moves through us. It comes out of a white hole and it goes into a black hole. It's kind of like, you know, the plumbing system of energy. So the black holes that we're seeing in space, it's like we're the cells to another being that's just bigger out there.
Right.
And it's like this endless awareness where, because I believe, because I have, I won't say I believe, I know my cells are sovereign beings because I have commanded my cellular structure to be sovereign. Because in my own awareness, I have learned that if my cells are sovereign, I don't have to bleed when I get cut. I can heal at rates that are not linearly limited. It can be, I tell the cells, get back to pristine. This is the way it is. And I've had significant things where when I'm hiking, a few sprains of the ankles, nothing happens. I've screwed with my Achilles heel by, you know, dropping a wrought iron chair on it where it scraped away a ton of skin, no blood. You know, it's just a matter of playing with all the gifts, quote unquote, that come from a level of awareness that says, well, we don't have to do A, B, C, and D. I can just get to Z because I'm commanding it, and I can command my cells, which totally have an intelligence all their own, to do the same thing. And then I'm starting to realize, oh my God, I'm becoming as a human being a cell in planet Earth that also no longer has to be affected by radiation and things of this nature simply because I'm becoming the cell in my body that's one dimensional experience, but there's also 11 other dimensions to be experienced that says I don't have to be, you know, greatly affected by this thing called radiation. I can move into another frequency where radiation is harmless.
Right.
And, you know, that's where I choose to be. It's certainly a lot more pleasant than the third dimension and, you know, struggling and that's a big thing in the third dimension, struggle. Sorry, I went on a tangent. I didn't mean to do that.
But take what you just said, because there's a lot of value to your comment. We do have choice.
Yes.
We have choice. We can choose to recognize the third dimension, and we can choose to stay in struggle, and we can choose to be all involved in that until we recognize we don't have to do that. What the hell are we doing that for? Why don't we do something
different?
Why don't we do something that's more empowering? And then we can, it's like this, all of a sudden, the awareness, I like to use the terminology, it's like this curtain pulls back and it's like, oh crap, I've been sitting here in the dark thinking that this is the reality of life and only I didn't recognize the flipping curtains were shut, and these things were solid pieces of plastic. And when I pull them back, I recognize there's light, and all of a sudden I'm getting vitamin D, and, well, I couldn't buy it. My experience now becomes different. Well, the experience can be different, whether it is healing, whether it is struggle or lack thereof. Whatever we choose, we can create a different experience by just becoming aware that we don't have to accept what we see as reality today.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Brilliant if I don't say so myself.
And it is so much fun talking with you.
Yes, it's fun to talk to you too, Chuck. I didn't realize how much I missed you until I heard your voice. And it's like, oh, Chuck.
It's number one, it's fun to be on the show. But the other thing is, it's nice to be able to talk with people of like minds. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, sometimes, again, we can get so caught up in the what I will refer to as the awareness field that it's like, how do I want to put this? It's almost like, well, there's a judgment if we are in this field of lack or lack consciousness or struggle. Well, gosh, our role is not to judge those who are living their life and their spiritual experience through that, because through that struggle, perhaps they too will experience their dark night of the soul, if that's necessary, in order for them to achieve their spiritual awakening. And if that's the case, I need to bless them on the journey that they're on, as opposed to trying to push them into a different journey if, in fact, they're not ready yet.
Absolutely right on. I'm so glad you talk about that, because everybody's trying to convince. And what people don't recognize is when you're convincing, you're needing them to change because you are not sure. That's what convincing is really about. If you're not convincing, I don't have to convince anybody, because when I live my truth, I'm experiencing incredible energies. Whether my father, whether the neighbor, or whether the rest of the 6 billion of us on the planet are in fear, I'm not. So, and I'm learning that, because I do feel it's part of the awakening. When you first awaken, when I first awakened, you know, I was preaching to everybody. You got to do this. You got to do this. And my brother said to me on one fine evening, he was like, stop preaching that you're a sage and be a sage.
Mm-hmm.
And the following day, I quit my job. I lived off of credit cards. I intentionally went bankrupt. And I started to go deeply into my spiritual process, which for me, it's not so much that it was about quitting the job and living off of credit cards as much as it was about, my father had told me my entire life that good credit was next to godliness. You know, that was everything. And I had extraordinary credit. You know, I always paid my bills, and, you know, I've always been a very conscientious person to do what I want to do. Now, that's not to say I haven't broke laws, because I've sold drugs for 12 years, but I am conscientious no matter what I do. And you can't apply conscientiousness whether something's legal or not. That's an irrelevance to what I'm sharing. But the thing that was important was, first of all, me thinking for myself, because I knew I was having, the deeper I was going down the rabbit hole, I was having a lot of emotional pangs, so to speak, of, is what I believe real? And in order for me to know if it was real, I had to jump off a cliff. And for me, it was quitting my job, living alone. I didn't have a roommate, first time in my life, and walking my talk. And, you know, it was the greatest teacher. I mean, was I scared? Oh, my God. If you go back even a few months, when my mom died, prior to me moving out on my own, I was going to grief counseling, and I had the grief counselor write a contract up that my father would no longer ask me what was going on with me financially. And on top of that, because he couldn't ask, I wasn't going to accept any help from him. And my father has basically held over me and my brother's head for basically our whole life that we have inheritances coming to us that are large. But first of all, so what, who cares? Because until he's actually dead, that does me no good.
Hey, Goldie, I got a quick question for you.
Please?
Does he need a son? I mean, I can be adopted, you know.
No, we have one of those. And well, see, you don't understand. See, control, which is what my father is doing, whether he's conscious of it or not.
Right.
Control is allowing the belief to say that my soul started stirring and going, are you going to let me out? Are you going to live through the expression of my soul? Even though, of course, it looks like, you know, you're quitting your job. You know, I remember the first check I wrote from the credit card. You know, it was like 10 grand. I had never written a 10 grand check in my life. And when I wrote it, I said, there was this thing going around in the spiritual community called Nisara, which was basically saying that all the credit cards were going to go defunct and that credit card bills were going to be forgiven and a new distribution of the finances was going to be passed out. Mm-hmm. So when I signed that first $10,000 check, I said either Nassara is going to hit or I'll go bankrupt because I never intended to pay it back. Now, I know that you paid it back and I honor your path totally. I don't feel the same ethics to credit card companies. You know, I personally think we were all scamming. I just scammed the scammers. And I have no guilt on that. I mean, zero.
Right.
Because I also feel that I found my personal soul with the money that they enabled me to go for 3 years to live without having to go to a job because I was going down the rabbit hole, Chuck, and I mean, I was on spaceships and I was exploring multiple dimensions that when this happens, you can't believe the toll it takes on your body. It's for us to change our physical beings from a carbon-based being to a crystalline-based being, there's deep changes that physically, when these things happen, you can be down for 3 to 5 days and it doesn't matter that you got a job, that you got to go to a that's just not a part of the purpose or the reason why, in my own belief, I'm here. So,
right.
Of course, you know, everything came, because I try to tell people, things will come to you, but they might not be in the packages that you expected. But when you come from a soul perspective, you know, I claimed bankrupt, and I'm sure the government or whoever paid back the money or whatever happened, it was that nobody wasn't fed because I didn't have that job. And now because I went through that period of 3 years of doing that, I'm now ready to, you know, to work my jobs and do my work and literally transform energies on the planet that I believe are helping truly sustain the majority of the population as they go through similar awakenings that I went through, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Sounds like I'm defending myself. I'm not trying to defend myself. So what I want to get to, sorry, again, I don't know why I'm going on these tangents. The dark night of the soul really seems dark, but there's so much purpose to our dark nights of the soul because I don't believe you were, like, from the moment I met you, Chuck, my whole sense of your being was, well, let me share with the audience how we met.
Sure.
I was working with a gentleman from Universal 7 Radio in Providence, Rhode Island, and we were cold calling people to see if we could get them to sponsor us and help support us. It was really, the focus was all about finances. At least that, you know, we were gonna be billionaires. That was what my partner's goal was, to become billionaires. And I was calling motivational speakers because, well, boy, if you want to get motivated to become billionaires and give great spiritual radio, well, you would call a motivational speaker. And Chuck was literally the first call I made. And I was a nervous wreck. You know, I had never done cold calling of any kind. And within, I'd say within, I think it was the first two or three conversations, it might have even been the first, I apologize if I'm not remembering totally, Chuck was going to fly down to Providence. We were going to get all that covered. You know, we paid for, did we pay for your plane? I don't even, yeah, we paid for your plane. And we had the hotel, which it was all about bartering in Providence. And he was going to show us how to go to companies in the local area to get us sponsorship, because Chuck was like, you know, I understand what you're trying to go for, but, you know, you're calling me in South Carolina and you're in Rhode Island. You know, perhaps you should look a little more locally for what you're after. And if you want, you know, I'll come down there for 5 days and, you know, we'll get you on a fast track. We'll just start going around to businesses. And he was going to essentially be, it was like we were hiring him to do marketing for a week. And, I mean, I couldn't believe, it was like, it was just the most amazing thing that, from what I had seen, you know, Chuck was successfully, you know, speaking around the country at that point. And, you know, and he was just going to, you know, do this for me and my partner. And what inevitably happened was Chuck came down, and like as we were talking about what, as he was talking to me about what it is we wanted, me and my partner, it started becoming very obvious to Chuck, and then as he made it obvious to me, that I really didn't care about being a billionaire. I just kind of wanted to, you know, just intermingle with people and heal the world and, you know, live on a really groovy planet that, you know, everybody was loving each other and in this deep awareness. But until that was actually spoken to me, you know, I was on this journey with a guy that was, you know, just focused, to be honest, one of these light workers that really, he just wanted to line his account. I mean, that really is... He made a lot of promises that he didn't keep, including to Chuck. And, you know, again, that's integrity that I just don't fly with. You know, it's like if you're going to say something, you got to keep your word. You know, whether you're a criminal or whether you're a law-abiding citizen, you should always keep your word from a person-to-person experience. And so... My meeting Chuck was it was the next big experience where I went, I told my partner that week that I was out. I wasn't going to be a full-time partner anymore, that I was going to start placing my energy. I left Rhode Island. I wasn't doing Rhode Island radio anymore. And, you know, it got me onto Blog Talk Radio. It changed my life. And inevitably about 7-8 months later, he basically, you know, said that he wasn't going to pay me any of the money that I had given back, that I had invested in him, and the relationship was over, which I kind of already knew that day, but it was a matter of the empowering part was I left. And I know that sounds like a little bratty, and maybe you can help me understand that, Chuck, but I really do believe there's empowering when you follow your intuition when it's a whisper as opposed to waiting to get clucked over the head when it's screaming at you.
Well, it is whenever you're willing to hear it. And as you're sitting there telling the story, from the other side of the chair,
okay.
You were sitting there, and sure enough, you were calling, and you were like, you know, we could get you on the radio, and so forth and so on, and okay, that's cool. But the reality was, it was, as you were calling, you were challenged with the selling part of it, which that's not an issue for me to be able to sell. But
right.
I'm sitting there like, well, but why would you be selling me in the Carolinas whenever there is no one anywhere close by going to hear me in Providence, Rhode Island? Maybe you need to find somebody more local. And sure enough, that was the premise that we went there with. And you guys brought me up. My job was to help you sell. your guy's job on the flip side was to, let's barter a little radio time so, you know, maybe we can get some sort of show started. I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Right.
So here we are. We're both together when we both think we've got this agenda. Well, when the guy that brought me up, I say the guy that brought me up, but when the guy that brought me up picked me up at the airport and we began talking, the more words kept coming out of his mouth, the more I kept getting this very strong sense that we were living in an illusion.
Really?
The illusion was, I'm going to help you sell, and you're going to help me get on the radio, and wah, 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 and all of that's an illusion for the reality of there is a really deep spiritual component taking place here. Now, Goldie, what I've never said to you, but I don't mind saying to you now, and I certainly don't mind saying on this show, was whatever you received from me, I received an equal amount back from you, and it was an incredible learning experience to me because that was one of the first times that I sat in someone's presence, was connected with spirit, and got messages. And when I say got messages, I mean got messages as in I heard stuff in my head.
Really? Okay.
That came out of my mouth into you. And it was like, okay, this is a little bit surreal. Now, I tried not to be like, oh, what the heck is going on? You know, that would have been like freaking you out and me out. And, you know, I could have been like in La La Land somewhere lost, and you'd have been, what the heck did we bring this dude up here for? I mean, we don't really know. So.
But I never felt that. I want the audience to know, I never, ever felt why. I was always like, thank God Chuck came up.
Well, and I was sitting there like, thank God this experience is happening. Now, I wasn't really completely, totally connected with the experience consciously, but subconsciously, so to speak, spirit was working, and it was like, okay, Chuck, you know what? You got a connection. Okay. Speak what I'm telling you. Okay. I did. You heard. I observed. I was like, wow. You know, this is now profound. This is something that feels significant. This is something that is beyond the mundane, very third dimensional, here is what it is that we do, and here's why we're here, and it's all about radio sales and making $1 billion, et cetera, et cetera. It's not about
right.
that.
Right.
It wasn't about that at all. Right. My purpose in being there was to help both of you, you and the gentleman that you were connected with, my purpose was to help both of you see the reality of your own truths so that you could comfortably move in the direction of your dreams. And I got out of that, oh, I do hear, I can understand, I can be a mouthpiece, if that's the right word.
Right.
A lot of people say I use my mouth way too much. But I could be a mouthpiece for that spirit to come through and to trust that what I am hearing is coming from a pure and high source. And that was really an initial awakening for me as well, and since has just become more powerful. And I don't say that in a braggatory way. I really hope people don't hear it that way, because that's not in any way, shape, or form the way I feel. But I am much more tuned to the messages that I receive and to knowing that most of the interactions that I have with people, and I think that any of us have. I don't want to infer that there's something special about me. I don't think that's the case at all. But I think most of the interactions that we have with people are at a much, much deeper level than in many cases we will even remotely give credit for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why shows like this are important now, because we are bringing awareness to it.
Right.
And that's important, indeed. Indeed.
The meeting with you started a process of me becoming, and I'm using me not egotistically, but me personally as a being, as one
right.
of many, many beings, being more connected to spirit. And you asked that question earlier, you know, do I meditate? And I responded, well, you know, not in a perhaps a traditional sense, but meditate from the perspective of being open and willing to allow spirit to connect, regardless of what the circumstances are that are surrounding.
Wow.
I can sit in a meeting, and I'm bringing this into business, into the day-to-day world of physical, tangible, you do this and whatever, whatever. I can sit there in business meetings and understand we can talk all day long about accounting, which might be boring to most folks, but we can talk about it, yet the great majority of the time we may talk about numbers on a page, but the substantive conversation will always move to something that is more empowering to the person who is sitting there. And when we leave, we understand we might have on the surface accomplished the objective, but the real value and meaning for the meeting was far deeper than what numbers were on a page.
Exactly. That's awesome. I mean, that is really, it's becoming aware of the connectedness that goes so much deeper than our job titles or our business creations. You know, you look at it, and, like the human body, I go back to that as the analogy, because if a cell is needed in the heart, a cell from the liver can come up, like in the bloodstream, and stop functioning as a liver cell, attach itself to the heart, and start functioning as a heart cell. I mean, it can become anywhere we need assistance. Cells are interchangeable within the body. And the analogy is that, you know, exactly like what you just said, you know, we can think we're in a meeting because of you know, businesses.
Right.
But from the level of, if you look at the picture from a greater perspective, you know, indeed, soul, because, you know, I never knew what you just shared, because, I mean, I just knew that you helped my soul awaken in your ability to speak the tongue. Because, I mean, me and Chuck were having these, like, profoundly deep conversations in Burger King and Subway, you know, waiting, you know, for my partner to call and make an appointment so we would know what, you know, because we never actually went into Providence. I mean, most of our time was really spent with each other just speaking about, you know, it started off as the goals, and then the goals went into, literally just morphed into soulful conversation that, well, what do you want, Goldie? Where do you want to focus your life? And, you know, your soul clearly said to my soul, this is a safe space, open up. And it was like, okay, Goldie can open up, like, I just started gushing my soul stuff to you. And you know, you just went, you know, I hope this doesn't affect you, but I don't think you're going for the right thing. Like, you know, because you didn't even stay the whole 5 days. We ended up putting you back on a plane after 3 days, if I'm correct.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, I have to tell you, it's kind of funny because, you know, the flight was scheduled and I was supposed to be there for 5 days. And we got to that third day and it became crystal clear as you and I were talking that there was nothing else to talk about.
Exactly.
But where you were, it was now your choice. You were the one that was empowered to follow your soul's guidance and direction, and all I really was there to do was be a conduit to help allow that to come out. And the same was true with the other gentleman, because if you remember, after you and I met, he and I met.
Right.
And the fascinating part to me was, it was like he opened up and was willing. Now, you know, I don't know everything that happened afterward, and I don't need to know. It's not relevant.
I hear you.
What happened
I hear you. Right.
Moment was he was at the moment he was willing to allow his soul's expression to come out and to recognize, you know what, I don't need this now.
Right.
Here's what happens though sometimes in our lives. We have these moments. It's not the only time that a window may be opened or a door may be opened. Sometimes people have this illusion, oh, my gosh, if I don't go through the door when it's opened, it will never open again. Oh, God.
Right.
Give me a break.
Right.
So
right.
The door opens. You can step through the door. You can walk to the other side. You can say, oh, my goodness, look at the beautiful field of flowers here. And then you might start to think, well, wait a minute. Well, I left a Cadillac, and I left a Mercedes, and I don't know how I'm going to eat. And you might turn around and walk back through the door.
Right.
So sometimes our souls have the opportunity to awaken and to just enter into the phase of where we are, and sometimes we're human beings and we're just going to take the stupid route and walk back.
Right.
And if we do, okie dokie, you know what?
Well, and we're eternal, right? You can't
part
miss.
Of the journey.
Right.
It's part of what we're doing, so we do that. And in your case, our connection, it's interesting, our connection has stayed. Now, my connection with the other guy is gone, and, you know, it's life. It's okay. I don't feel badly. I wish him the best. I have no idea what he might be doing, but our connection has stayed because both of us have consciously chosen on a soul level to allow our spirits to soar and to accept as best we can in the form that we're in how we function on this planet as light workers.
Right. I do want to add, though, from my own experience, the more, like, the things that I was saying, like when I signed the contract with my dad to not have any financial support, that was such a huge thing for me to do because to be sovereign, you know, I had just lost my mom. To be sovereign was one of the scariest things I had ever done. Now, to be quite honest, though, I wanted to make the contract for life, and the grief counselor said, do it for a year. I was like, no, do it for life. And she was like, do it for a year. And we ended up doing it for a year, which was just enough for me to kind of stretch my muscles and go, okay, I now know how to tell my father, listen, don't sweat the small stuff. My bills are, you know, I give him money to pay certain bills. Don't sweat the rest. You'll have your money. You know, so at this point, he doesn't control it anymore, but he's still assisting me. I mean, I live in his house. And so the point I'm trying to make is the more we kind of spread our wings and jump off a cliff, and I should say it's actually the other way around. You'll jump off a cliff and then spread your wings. The more you start understanding that fear is not a good reason, I don't want to use good or bad, fear does not have to be a reason for you not to experience something. Because fear has its place, but when you go through something that you feel, like when I left that partner, I mean, you don't understand, for the last 3 years, I was eating, breathing, and sleeping Universal 7 Radio. I had invested $20,000 in this gentleman, which is, you know, definitely not, you know, this is not a million. I'm not a, but what's the guy, the Jewish guy from New York, Pontiff? What was his name? The Jewish guy who scammed everybody?
Oh, you're talking about Bernie Madoff.
Madoff. You know, I get that it's not $60 billion, but, you know, for somebody who's basically, you know, making 14 grand a year, 20,000, you know, that's more than a year's salary.
Right.
So, you know, there was significance from a percentage point of view for me, and to walk away, that was not easy. But when Chuck showed me that it was not my soul, there's a matter of exercising the muscle of learning to trust your intuition as opposed to the outer reality. Because outer reality is not just the cars and the houses and the stuff. Outer reality is also about other people telling you what's best for you when there might be a conflict inside of what something inside is telling you what's best for you. You know, that's in other words, it's not a tangible thing, but it's still the direction of, are you listening to the outside or are you trusting the inside?
Right. There's an interesting book called, it's called Spiritual Partnerships by Gary Zukav.
Oh, and I love him. Yep.
It's a very, very cool book. I was in a Barnes & Noble with a lady who is very dear to me. She and I have had the opportunity to work together for well over 12 years at this point. And it seems like every time we part, jobs have changed or whatever it happens to be, and we no longer work together, we end up working back together.
So, nice.
We were sitting in a Barnes & Noble one night, you know, at the little Starbucks thing, having a whatever they were serving, and I walked past this book on the way to the restroom, and on the way back, it was like it was sitting there vibrating. It wanted to jump off the shelf. Well, now, I've learned in the bookstore that if I'm walking past something and it confounds normality, because the book wasn't going to jump, and it probably wasn't vibrating, but it sure seemed like it to me. So if it felt that way, it was like, okay. Now, of course, Chuck, the little technocrat, I took a picture of the book because I was going to download it, buy it, and download it to my iPad, because that is a way cool read the book way to read a book.
Indeed.
So I buy this book, and I recognize that Gary has been able to put into words the relationship that this lady and I have, which is a spiritual partnership. And that spiritual partnership... And I say this, Goldie, in a sense, kind of like the relationship we have, except we're distant and we don't talk as often, certainly as this other lady and I. But the partnership part of it is that willingness to listen to spirit and to be open enough and honest enough with another human being to face whatever fear you may and speak the truth.
Yes.
And if you can find someone in your life that will get past all of the bull and get past all of their fears. Fears of rejection. Oh, they'll turn me away. They won't be involved with me. Whatever.
Right, right.
And be willing to speak the truth to another human being and help them see past the illusion that they may be willing to create for themselves. As I created illusions for myself, there is nothing more powerful than two spirits coming together making that type of honest commitment of communication.
That is so, I want to say an F word, but I'm not going to, but that is so cool. I'm just, you know, I mean, that word might offend people, but that is so right on, Chuck. That is so right. And I'll be honest with you, my sense of things, which is pretty good, tells me that, especially just after what you just said, as life shifts in the way, you know, it's not just plates on the planet that are shifting. I mean, belief systems around religion, belief systems around education, belief systems around medical, belief systems around finances, everything is shifting. I have a feeling that we're going to dance together again, and you know, because all of a sudden, as you were talking, I was like, me, you, and a couple of my friends. I'm like, oh, we're all going to be talking, speaking, you know, doing speaking engagements.
Right.
Now, and I know you do them, so this is not like. But all of a sudden, I was like, oh, okay, I could see that happening with me and Chuck. You know, are you being part of this because of your clarity already, which is. You know, for someone who works, it's like you're a mole in the third dimensional world. And when I say mole, you know how the Russian spy things? Not a mole like a big hairy thing on somebody's face.
Okay, because you got me with the hairy thing. I was like, really? I'm a
mole. No, you're not a mole.
I've been spied to so many things, but not a mole. I'm like, oh,
no.
It's a
well,
little
I mean,
hairy.
Like, they don't even know that they're getting this. You're a wonderfully spiritual person hiding in prison clothes in the business world.
Well, and to augment what you say, that I would agree with that. But everybody has to have the way to get it. You know, if you sat back
right,
and you
right.
said. Okay, well, we've got all of these people on the planet. This is the, and I'm going to get on my little religion tangent for a second, but, you know, the concept that there is only one path, I don't care who it is, makes no difference
right.
to me. Fundamentalist
yeah.
Christian, Muslim, I don't, Buddhist, I could care less. What
or a light worker. Or a light worker.
Light worker.
Yes.
But
yes.
to assume there's only one path is like the most bizarre concept, because we have this diversity of people, and all people need to have an opportunity to awaken to the truth of who they are. So if I can, if I'm, and I'll use your term lovingly, if I am a mole in the business world and can help that take place, wonderful. I am so thrilled with that. That's great.
Yes. So, well, so am I, because I've always heard that there are, like, I have one of my sisters, an intimate partner. She's also in the business world. I mean, because it's a matter of, there has to be people that know business, so that as the businesses that are in frequencies that will not survive the frequency shifts that are happening on the planet, someone's got to be there that when things collapse are there to rebuild. And they'll be rebuilt completely differently. In other words, it will no longer be, you know, I think it used to be 5% of the population was controlling 95% of the income. I think at this point it's actually gotten down to 3% of the population is controlling 97% of the income. You know, it's about understanding distribution, and it's about understanding soul. It's about, you know, it's just about understanding spiritual principles and applying them. Whether, like we were saying earlier, you can apply it to food, you can apply it to music, you can apply it to belief systems. It doesn't matter, because they're really, it's a universal neutrality of unity. Consciousness works, and separateness and individuality, competition, doesn't. It's not energetically supported at this point in time on the planet. That's what the collapse is, that it used to be supported, but now it's not anymore. You know, we're going through our, you know, changes. And so somebody's got to be there to be rebuilding this, and it's the people that are already in it that know it.
Well, there need to be those that can rebuild. There also need to be those that can offer, and I know you said you didn't like the word, but let me play with it, hope. Because what happens if you're one of those 3% and there is a dramatic shift, and all of a sudden what you have known dramatically changes, and no longer are you in that power percentage? Well, you know what? They're spiritual beings too.
That's
They're no
true.
Different. So if I'm sitting there and there are people in that 3%, what I'm going to call the power domain at this point, and no longer are you part of the power domain, do we write them off? Or
no.
Do we help them see that there is enough for everyone, that the power domain is, it served its purpose in its time, and now it's time for us to recognize there is no lack. There is massive abundance if we want to focus attention on the fact that everything that we need will always be provided in abundant form. It doesn't, but like you said, it doesn't have to be a win-lose situation. That's the thing, you can sit and see it on the news. It's like, well, we're going to have a government shutdown. Win-lose. Why does it have
right.
to be that way? That's just stupid. Well, who's going to get blamed? Win-lose. What happens
right.
whenever we all of a sudden recognize that's not a really good model?
Right.
Dude,
whose time has truly come. I mean, it's not only not a good model. I mean, it is the planet is becoming less and less third dimensional. I mean,
right. That's correct.
And so as we become less and less third dimensional, we have to become more adaptable to what is, and what is a unified consciousness. We can, and you know, people laugh because they're like, you know, there's some wonderful videos online going around about a gentleman in India that was feeding homeless people, and and have you seen it? And
I have.
I think you commented on it.
Oh yeah.
And see, now one of the biggest things that I noticed in that video, which is one of the reasons why I shared it. I mean, I love feel good videos, definitely. But he spoke of the caste system.
Yep.
And that is so important to note, because as long as there's a caste system, there's separation. And it is indeed, in his country, it is the wealthy himself who's recognizing the joy in taking care of those who were cast in a system that could never become that wealthy.
Right.
By according to the system, they could never become that wealthy. Yet the ones who are starving are often also at the... You can't starve the bottom without starving the top. Because whether you are aware of it or not, We are one system. So as long as we're, you know, preventing nourishment from any part of the system, the whole body will suffer from that. Whether and growing up in the area I grew up in and live in now, it's so clear to me that there's a lot of money here, but they are starving for intimacy, starving for connections. And at this point, they're starving for a sense of security. I mean, they have everything money can buy, and they don't feel secure. That's wild. You know what I mean? Like, that's just wild to me.
It is. And the funny part is, if you really look, and you can, again, pull back the curtain and look past the illusion, some of the most secure people are the people who recognize reality for what it is, and they don't necessarily have the money, and it isn't that they feel any lack.
Exactly. Oh, my God, Chuck, right. You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, don't they say millionaires make it and then lose it several times in their lifetimes?
In many cases, that's absolutely true.
Yes.
In many cases, that's absolutely true. And the funny part, this is now, you know, we'll play dollars for a second. The funny part is a lot of people who have made incredible wealth made it and gave substantial amounts away because they knew that it wasn't theirs. It wasn't for them to have solely to protect. Now, the unfortunate side is because they made incredible wealth, even though they might have given substantial amounts away, I'm going to pick for a second, but like Bill Gates' kid. Now, Bill's going to give a lot away.
Right.
He's still going to be pretty doggone wealthy.
Right.
And then the question comes, well, so does that wealth erode the knowledge and the power and the spirituality of who that being is or not? And it's easy to judge it will. With a new generation or new generations of people coming along, they're probably going to look at things different. You can see it with social networking.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing to watch. We're on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And unless I'm missing something, now I know that Blog Talk Radio has some purchased, you can spend a little bit of money to have your site, whatever it happens to be.
It's no longer free. Right. To do a two-hour show, you now have to pay. Yes.
Okay. But it used to be free, right?
Correct.
My WordPress blog is free.
Okay.
It doesn't cost me a dime. I can write as much as I want and put it on the Internet, and it doesn't cost a freaking dime. How in the world they do it, I don't know, but you know what? I don't care. It's free.
Right.
I can put my YouTube videos, I can put my videos on YouTube, and they're free.
Yes.
I can say anything I want. You came on with this great voice. It was really cool. And you talked about this guy, and while you were talking about the guy, I searched him, put it on your Facebook, which is a free. So now he can get access to people. It's on my Facebook page, on your Facebook page. So if people want that golden voice, they now know how to get him.
Outstanding.
That was all created by a generation beneath me.
Right.
Their idea is we create it and we make it available to people because it should be available free.
Right.
Whoa.
Well, not only should, I think it's more of the, it is, of, you know, in other words, these are all symbolic representations of what you're, when you heard that voice in spirit, that's free too. And that's available to, because Facebook is symbolic of 12% of the population on the planet. Do you know that that's critical mass?
Right. Absolutely.
That's an interesting, funny how that's what it is. It's critical mass on Facebook. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think that's a coincidence.
No. It's not a coincidence that the energy on the planet is such that it is ready to receive a new paradigm and a new shift. And
right.
The new paradigm and the new shift is shifting away from things that
elitism.
Are elitism and win-lose to win-win.
Exactly. And it's actually the way I said it, win-win, and then there's a third win, which is the recognition that there is beyond the physical, beyond me and you, there's our spirit.
Oh, right.
Which is absolutely a character in our play. It You know what I'm saying? A significant role, even though they're not physical. They are just as much an influence. And people would say maybe more so, but it's like, no, this isn't about non-physical having more power than physical, and it's not about more physical having more power than non-physical. It's about a triad, about when we're in the triad, all of us aware of each other, the masculine, the feminine, and the non-physical, there's an alchemy that happens where by divine states, harmony is experienced. It just is. You know,
I got to jump in on something that you just said because it hit something for me. You said in the play. You referred to or used the play of our lives. I think it's really a fascinating thing. I was talking, again, with my spiritual partner, not that there's only limited to one, but in this case I was talking with Mary, and she'd had a very, very challenged childhood in life. Very challenged. And in the process of talking about that, I made the comment to her one day because her father abused her, raped her. I mean, it was horrific, and I can't begin to describe it, and it doesn't need the description, but pretty doggone bad. And we were sitting there, and it was, of course, seething anger over her life and her father, and I made the comment, I said, you realize he's just an actor in the play.
Right.
And she looked at me, and I said, Mary, we came into this life, we were spirit. We chose, coming in, to incarnate into human form for a purpose. There was a reason we're here. We're not here by accident. It just wasn't because of, you know, a passionate moment between mama and daddy. There was a whole plan taking place. We knew each other outside of our physical experience, and we condensed until we finally became human, and eventually at some point in time kind of forgot the fact that we were spiritual. But your father, whatever he did, as horrific as it was, and I know on a human level, in fact, I can almost feel there are people listening to the show that might say, oh, you are so crazy now. You have crossed the line. You don't know what he did to her, and I mean, now we get into victim.
Right.
But it's like, you know what? Everybody was part of the play.
Yes.
And
equally.
As part of the play, as bad as what his actions were, plays have villains.
Yes.
And at the end of the play, when the play is over, people then walk out on stage and the curtain is called, and even in the Phantom of the Opera, when the Phantom is such a sucky person, although he can sing really well, the fact is people applaud the guy.
Yes.
So we're players. We're here, and we are part of the play. And being part of the play doesn't always mean everything is going to go perfect and well and it's going to be this, you know, blissful experience. You and I agreed somewhere, somehow, that we were going to get together. That could be, like Greg and I, it could be for a short period, a brief moment in time. I'm just an extra in his play. It's impossible. Just an extra. I mean, really insignificant extra. Or I could be a significant part, have a significant part, or a supporting actor's part, whatever, but we're part of the play.
Right.
Our job is to play our roles to the best of our ability to raise the consciousness of this planet, because that's why we're here, and that's part of what's taking place.
Absolutely. Beautifully stated. It's right on. I mean, you're right the F on. God, I so want to say that word. I'm not saying it, though. Going to do it.
Now, Block Talk Radio, the difference.
No, they don't care. I mean, I'm actually right. This is, but, you know, I'm restraining. I don't know why I'm restraining. Why am I restraining? I never restrain around you, Chuck. But I also never get the urge to say, I say shit, but I don't say the F word. So it's all good, though. But you're so right on, because I think one of the reasons why I love the idea of having people on who have, quote-unquote, walked in their shadow, you know, for you to come on and say, yes, I have stolen money. There is so much power, because my belief is, I believe we all have shadows. And if I was going to say, if you weren't bad in this lifetime, you probably were in a few other lifetimes. But the truth is, we all have these dark thoughts. You know, whether we're pulling wings off of flies as a kid, whether we're, you know, bullying, you know, kids on the playground, whatever. Whatever it is, it's a part. What I want to get through to people is it's a part of the experience of duality. You cannot be in a third-dimensional experience without duality as the effect and the cause. I mean, that is what we come here to experience, the light and the dark playing off of each other. Like you said, in this dimension, the play has to have a villain because it's the nature of the dimension. By science, it's the nature of the dimension. Now, as we go up in the higher dimensions, which is happening, there isn't so much of need of a villain, which is why we're also saying the kids won't have, quote-unquote, the necessarily at least as dark a dark night of the soul, because they're born on a frequency that, like you were saying, we've worked to raise. You know, it's partially the humans choosing it, and it's partially, I believe, a galactic placement that, you know, we're basically... You know, we're getting in alignment with, you know, Andromeda Galaxy, and we're getting in alignment with the central sun. And, you know, so there's a compensation of, all right, you know, for the last 26,000 years, you guys have really been lost out there in, you know, in our own third dimensional illusions. And now we're coming out of that. And the beautiful part about it is, you know, we've all been dark because I think a big part of how people stay in their darkness is guilt and shame. And these are like the most insidious emotions and beliefs, you know, that you know, you're a bad person, or, you know, you've inherently done something wrong that, you know, nobody else has done this wrong. And it's like, I tell people, you know, darkness is like, you know, flatulence. We all have it. We all pick our nose privately, and we all fart privately, and... So all of a sudden it's becoming more of a human thing instead of, I'm a bad male or I'm a bad female thing. That's not the truth. We've been conditioned to believe that that's the truth, but the truth is there's darkness in all of us. And for me, like I said, I've been calling myself a poster child for the dark only because I also know that, you know, I am definitely committed to my 12th dimensional frequency. I mean, I am now no longer the warrior of light. I am now, I practice compassion. I practice tolerance. I'm learning neutrality. You know, these are my new weapons, so to speak, that I go into the world with. And they're just as challenging as it was being aware of multiple dimensions when most of the world around me was not aware of that. But what I want people to know is if you've been in a duality situation, you can come out of it completely unscathed. There's no judgment here by any deity bigger than yourself saying, you know, okay, well, you've done this. Well, now, you know, you've got to pay. It's like the only one judging is self. And if everybody has a dark side, then maybe it's time to really start applying some salve, you know, like, forgiveness and some salve, like compassion, because I really believe that, like you said, we came here consciously. We came here to experience the dark. So that means if you did bad things, you played the game perfect. You played your part. That you were supposed to experience the dark. Don't feel bad about it. You know, just recognize that part of the play is finished. The opportunity is now available to be in a godlike presence, which is, you know, the beautiful part about this is the dark was all about stealing energy from each other. I mean, it wasn't just about stealing money. We were stealing energy. What is coming onto the planet now, if you look, even if you look on TV, like, you know when the camera will take a photograph of something outside and you see those circles on a camera, the reflections of the sun? Look for the magenta circles. They're everywhere. I mean, I see them on reality shows. I see them on nature shows. I see them on Facebook. The magenta-colored energy is literally, it's not a binary energy. It's a trinary. It's triad. It is the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and it's alchemized togetherness element. It is whole. It is complete. and it is nurturing us back into the total remembrance of who we are. I mean, it's actually a physical energy coming into the planet. And so all we have to do is breathe it in and know that the reason why it's coming into the planet, because like you were saying, it's curtain time. This show is over. We've experienced everything we came here. Every scenario of separation and duality has been experienced, and we have grown because of it. Just as your life shows you that you have, my life shows me that I have. And anybody who's a recovering addict or has shifted their paradigm in any way from one that, you know, was stealing energy to now creating your own sovereignty knows that it's a divine compensation. You get to be divine because you never weren't divine. You just came here to play a non-divinity partner, a non-divinity character. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting as you talk about the shadow.
Okay.
One of the things that you've talked about it a couple of times tonight, and I know we don't have
yep.
a lot of time here, but one of the things...
Well, you're coming on again, just so you know. I will make sure of that. Okay.
But one of the things that pops up for me is a lot of times those people who have experienced, we'll call it the less than positive experiences of life, or the shadow side, the dark side, because it is a duality. You can't recognize light if you don't know dark, and vice versa.
Right.
So those of us that have experienced that, we find a lot of people will come out of it and then try to run from it. It's like, okay,
yeah.
And I need to say this, I guess. It's probably said, by the way, as much for me as anybody, but I did steal money. I did go to prison. I am a convicted felon. Those are all things that most people would define as negative, and yet they do not define who I am today as we talk on this call.
Right.
But I don't hide those parts of my being. That part of me that
yeah.
was a dark side, it's like saying, okay, well, if I am, I'm trying to think of some actor's name, you know, if I'm Tom Cruise, I played in Top Gun. That never changes. He played in Top Gun.
Right.
Okay, got that. By the way, it was a pretty good movie. But outside, but outside of him flying these airplanes around, which didn't really happen, the fact is that was a part of who he was. And
right.
And so often, the people who really can help others move through and find the spiritualness of who they are the people, like you said, who might be recovering addicts or alcoholics. Now,
yep.
a recovering alcoholic will always tell you, I'm an alcoholic. I haven't
yep.
had a drink in 25 years, but they will always acknowledge their shadow, because by acknowledging the shadow, they give power to the fact that as humans, as spiritual beings, we have the ability to move past that.
Yes.
Doesn't define us, but we have the ability to move past it. But you don't want to put it in the closet and say, oh, there
right.
was never a shadow in my life. That's wrong. I would never be in any way asked to speak to people if I weren't willing to talk about the fact that there is a very clear shadow side of myself that I have moved past. So that other people can see if they're I have to be careful because it feels egotistical, and that's not the spirit.
No, you're worried about that. Don't listen. You're speaking on a show where I so promote knowing, know it, because you can't. There's a difference between, you know, I posted a post recently about Yoda. He goes, do or don't do. There is no try.
Right.
You're not egotistical. You're not egotistical because you're just speaking of a confidence that comes from living the experience. And now you do know. You do know that you have gone past your shadow. Your shadow no longer hovers behind you and says, if you stop running, I'll get you. That's
right.
what the running is.
Right.
That it's going to be gobbled up by the dying. Do you have a fear of your shadow? Do you have a fear that you're going to go to prison because you're stealing money?
Well, of course not. not.
So then,
speak
that truth, right? That's
but,
not
you know, cocky. The reality is, I also give recognition to that part of my life and that shadow that it was valuable. I honor it. I appreciate it. It's funny, Goldie, because I'll have people say in these presentations that I do, if I open it up for questions and answers, invariably they say, well, if you had to do it over again, would you do it? And I look back at them like, you dumbass. No. I don't want, it wasn't fun going to prison. Are you freaking crazy? Try it sometime. It ain't a fun experience. But as I say that to them, and, you know, people then typically will laugh just like you do. But as I say that to them, I'm thinking to myself, but you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world.
There you go.
I mean, no, I'm not proud of what I did, but what I did put me to
But are you ashamed of what you did?
Today, and I'm thankful for that.
There you go. That's
And you know,
really,
here's an oddity.
Really
I mean, this is it you need to be able to finish your show, but the odd part about it is the people that I stole money from at the moment may not have liked me very much. That's probably a minor understatement. Probably hated my guts. They wanted their money back more than they wanted me in prison, and they ended up getting both. But today, yeah. I can see those people, and those people will look at me today, and we will carry on intelligent, honest, heartfelt conversations, and they recognize that even though they were victims and I victimized them, we both have moved past that V word into victor world. I am victor over my shadow, and they have been victorious because they've been able to find in their heart forgiveness, and that's spiritual growth for us both.
Absolutely. Listen, we still have 14 minutes left, so don't stop talking.
Okay.
Yes, 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 yes. Because, you know, that is another important aspect, is the forgiveness plays a major part in freedom of the soul. The
Absolutely.
Soul cannot soar. So if you've been victimized by a character that, you know, like we've been saying the whole show, we have both. It's a duality gig here, people. I mean, listen, I have been molested in my life, and I clearly get that my molester is, I really believe this too, in spirit, one of my best friends, because I wouldn't have given that job to anybody but my best friend. Because did it hurt? Absolutely. Was it painful? Absolutely. You know why I forgived him? Because to this day, I still, you know, he leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Don't really need to share the world with him. You know, don't need to share my experiences with him. Have I forgived him? Yes. And for selfish reasons, it was exhausting me hating him. Exhausting me. I mean, when you start understanding energy, you start getting hatred is like literally just stick a tube into your chakras and drain, because it's nothing productive. I mean, it might feel good initially, but ultimately, I mean, I was hating him for a good, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm just so I just didn't want to think about hating him. I, you know, it was like, and so the alternative was to forgive him. And I spoke to him, and I forgave him. And, you know, like I said, I'm not planning, you know, sleepover parties with him, you know. But I'll understand even more, and I know this, when both of us have passed on. But my heart tells me that he's a significant part of my life in the non-physical world, because I don't believe I would have given that role of that character to someone who I didn't trust and love unconditionally.
You know,
because it's a big part.
I wish I could, you know, I don't know if this is captured, but I love the words that you just said, because that is, I wish I had said that. Gosh, that was so eloquently said. It is someone that you love and trust unconditionally to give you the experience that you ask for to
yes.
help your soul awaken as it needs to. You're not going to give that to Joe Schmo.
Exactly.
Those are going to be the people that despitefully use you in this life are
yes.
also people that are showing some of the greatest love for you that we can imagine, and we're just too blinded by the illusion of this dimension to recognize it.
Yes. Yes. Because, you know, my partner that you met, he used to say all the time, we've done this ascension process on other planets. We've done this before together. And the truth is, he got me into radio. He brought about something with me where when I raised that $20,000, I didn't know I was capable of raising $20,000. And
right.
I didn't know that. I mean, there were many gifts that he gave me, and it is so important to see that bigger picture along with the individual picture. In other words, see yourself as a cell, but also see yourself as a whole body, and recognize then the third aspect, which is the non-physical aspect, because all of this is contributing to the show, or to the play, all of it. And when we can shift our perspective just outside of, like I have a friend of mine that always says, you know, it's good for me to remember it's not just about me. And, like, we'll have conversations when, like, if we're being triggered by someone not acknowledging us, you know, we start understanding, well, if it's not about me, you know, they're going through stuff, too. You know, they're not acknowledging me because God knows they're going through their own dark night of the soul. It's not always about that they have to say thank you to Goldie when, you know, they have their own issues that they're dealing with. So, you know, we give each other these, like, you know, awareness checks. You know, it's like, you know, let me just get back into center because, again, if energetically, if you're feeding from source, which is what that 12th dimensional meditation is that I'm going to start playing, then you don't need to feed from another person. If you're feeding from source, you're going to fill from source, and what you're going to do with everything around you, whether it's be human or animal or plant or mineral, all you're going to want to do is give back. You really don't. All the expectations fall away because you don't need them to tell you or to show you that you're loved. You don't need them to show you that you're valuable. All of that will come from the energetic source, and then what you're doing is just sharing it with everybody and anybody. I mean, when people are like, you know, I'm supposed to love people like I love my children. Well, it's like if you had a tube plugged into you that constantly was feeding you an energy into your physical body, your physical cells, of unconditional love constantly, you would love the homeless person, the cashier clerk, the taxi driver, and your child exactly the same way. Because you would express that unconditional love. When it's in us, you can't help but express it. It's the nature of the soul wants nothing to do but express. Express, express, express. That's all it wants to do. It wants to create and experience and express. That's the job of the soul. It never wants to, it's not really, it doesn't destroy. In a duality situation, things have to get destroyed because that's the nature of, you know, the whole recycling bit, you know, chaos before creation. Right. But in the soul perspective, it's always about creation and expressing. And, you know, it's really, the beautiful part is it's where we're going. So as we're getting there, I mean, and I love it because I'm seeing all these, you know, all the moles. You know, because we know there, you know, we know the moles are in, you know, the spiritual world and, you know, the people that are doing the teepee work or, you know, they're standing in Merkabahs, you know, all this, you know, the flower of life geometrical shapes or the crop circles. But, you know, where we also need it in a daily life is in businesses and, you know, we still want commerce and we still want productivity to be part of this new dimensional reality. And someone's got to be in these jobs, you know, in this field itself, creating the awareness that, okay, if something's collapsing, don't worry about it because there's something, you know, coming up the rear. Sorry, that's just a little Goldie joke. That's a magenta wholeness. And here's how it'll work. You know, the profit line won't be the thing that motivates everybody. What'll motivate everybody is everybody taken care of. I mean, it'll become what we feel because it's the, like I said, it's just the nature of the way it is.
Well, and Goldie, let me add one thing because I know we're rapidly coming to a close. I should have done this earlier, but you said
no. Okay, please share.
It's not about us giving. So, okay. And I know that in past, the few times that I've been on the show, you have folks that perhaps will email you or send you some sort of communication, whether it's here on the show, via email, Facebook, what have you. But I want to make an offer to you for the first five people that do contact you. If you will send me their name and address, I will be happy to send them a free copy of the book, Second Chances.
Sweet! Thank you, Chuck. Absolutely. I so recommend the book. It's an awesome, awesome book. It's just a feel-good book. And definitely you can... And you can also connect with Chuck. Chuck Gallagher is one of my friends on Facebook. He can be found on Facebook.
On Facebook or at chuck@chuckgallagher.com. I'm kind of easy to connect with. I'll just put my name in. You'll find me all over the Internet. And love to talk with you. But, Goldie, I feel like at least one of the things that I can do is make the book available. If for some reason this show has spoken to someone and they want a copy of the book, I'll pick up the cost of postage and send it to you free. It's just my way of paying it forward.
You rock, Chuck. You just rock. Now, first of all, I'm not letting you go. You know, you're going to be hearing from me because – I don't know, I just didn't know all the, you know, we used to talk about the steps. It was before the book was actually published.
That's correct.
And that was, you know, it was all in divine order, but you really do have what I would call a pulse on what is happening right now. And I love it. I love it because I get out there and I'm like a little schizophrenic in everything I say, and then you're the one who eloquently puts it all together in this like delightful soup with the right seasoning, and it's like, yeah, you're like a nice easy chair. It's like, you made that sound really good, Jack.
Well, I've been a mole in an easy chair.
I love you, baby.
I am whatever you want me to be, girl.
Well, and you really are, but there's beauty, there's wisdom in being fluid. And, you know, because I would imagine the things we talk about on our show, you might not necessarily talk about on, you know, the other places that you speak. And yet you effortlessly fly here and become literally just one of the gang who absolutely has the wisdom is there, the energy is there, the frequency is there, the joy. Because I'll tell you, I'm so about... On my show, there's a resonance factor at this point. And, you know, if I don't feel it, you know, thanks. Bye.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I wish them well, but you can't keep coming on my show if I don't feel you, because that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And, I mean, I feel you deeper tonight than I've ever felt since the time when we first met up in Rhode Island. You know, it's like, wow, you are definitely you're just speaking to my cells, you're speaking to my soul, and I know you're speaking to the audience as well, which is, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And let me just say, too, the reason why I said I don't like hope is hope to me is something that says it's not here now. You know, I want people to know that the frequency that we're at is, If you're trying, you're going to get the frequency of trying. If you're knowing, you're going to get the experience of knowing. But trying doesn't lead to knowing. You know, that's an illusion that these things lead into each other. Just like, you know, there's a lot of things as they change, especially from the linear point of view, that, you know, we don't necessarily have to go through a linear experience, a sequential experience of A, B, C, D to get to E. We can, if we learn it, it's a matter of truly knowing it. That, and I definitely highly recommend in all of your experiences, for you in particular, to let go of the doubt of sounding conceited. Just know. Because as you know, it allows the frequency for others to know.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I appreciate that. I think that's wise counsel.
Oh, I love you. So where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Can anybody catch you in local areas? Or?
Well, that's a dandy question. Of course, tomorrow I'm going to be speaking at a school.
Right.
I am in Ohio toward the middle part of April, 26th, 27th, 28th. What part of Ohio? That's a dandy question. I'm not even sure exactly where. I want to say it's Columbus, but I'm not going to promise that. I am in Florida in May, Georgia in May, Iowa in May, Texas in June, and then in Kentucky. So, you know,
are these open to the public? Could they come see you?
You know, honestly, Goldie, that answer is a function of the location. Sometimes they'll open it to the public and allow people to do that. A lot of times I'm actually hired by private organizations or associations to come speak to their audiences, and frankly, that's more of what takes place than not. But maybe sometime, considering where you are, I can make a trip up to the Northeast, and maybe we can put together something where people can actually come and interact and integrate, and we can have some fun with that. That would be
Right on, Chuck. You just read my mind. I mean, and it's already coagulating, so I will absolutely, as this starts becoming, you know, like more, it's in this reality, I will definitely share that with you, because I absolutely believe you should be a part of this. I mean, I saw that tonight, and I love that you're open to participating, because the difference you made in my life, you can make for people, even not just in, you know, the business world, but anybody in your presence, you can help bring, you know, a second chance to them. You know,
well,
that really does.
And we all can together, and I'm open to that.
Yeah. All right, so everybody, I'm going to premiere the closing of my show. I couldn't be more excited, and I know we're not streaming live anymore, so you'll just have to hear the archive if you're on the – I don't know how this works. Anyways, and Chuck, thank you so much. You're still – you're always fantastic. I'm so glad we connected, so glad. This was a really just a fun evening for me. I just had fun, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Last for me as well. Thanks, Goldie.
You rock. Okay, so we're going to do the outro, and next week it will be, Dr. Corbin, who's an anesthesiologist, I believe, whose son passed over, and he's a medical doctor and now is communicating with his son, so clearly that's, you know, blowing a lot of his Western medicine beliefs right out the door. So I love you all. Have a great week. And remember, contact me on Facebook if you want a free copy of Second Chances by Chuck Gallagher. All right. So here's the outro. Everybody have a great night. Bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.